This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
And I'm Mike Beats.
And this is going to be our final episode of the year.
The season? Sorry. It's, season on television.
We just started talking and you're...
Whatever.
You know, you'll be saying, may the force be with you.
We're not going to talk about the NFL topic?
The NFL topic. We can talk about the NFL topic if there's anything left to talk about CFL, and we could talk about TOC. But TOC
are those summer episodes, like special editions?
Hey, well, we could have to have like a wedding if it's a special edition. You know, Chachi marries JW.
A very special view from Tab.
A very special view from.
I don't want to get any special views from Tab. Or of Tab, for that matter.
Okay, well, let's start with TOC. Now, you guys just came back from the TOC, and you're both on the committee. First of all, just how I wasn't there, so how was the TOC? How was the tournament?
I thought it was really good. I think it's really interesting since the TOC has – this is the second time, I think, that we were in the Hilton, which used to be the Radisson, which is like a pretty swanky hotel. It's really interesting to see how that sort of – affects the feel of the tournament. Would that be accurate to say, Beats? Like I just find it interesting because it's like a much nicer hotel than the TOC used to be in.
Sure.
And this is downtown, right?
Yes. And it's a much bigger hotel. There's like a lot of hangout space, etc. It's just interesting.
I mean, that was one of the downsides of back in the day when it was the Ramada, whatever the hell it was, which, I mean, that was just a motel. It could have been anywhere. It was horrible.
Yeah. I had a pretty good time. I mean, I had kids there in LD policy and public forum. So it was interesting for me personally because increasingly I've tried to be involved in not just directing all parts of the program, but try to be involved with everything that's going on in all parts of the program, which can be a little difficult. And this was the first time that I was really trying to actively do that at the TOC. And I thought that was both an interesting challenge and something that made me respect people who have been in the activity longer than I am, who are involved in like multiple events. Aaron Timmons and Pam Katie Wyckoff both come to mind in terms of being involved with like different events on their team. And I mean, the weather was awful. So going from building to building, especially between events, was pretty.
Yes, you got those rainstorms that were flooding everybody else, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty nasty, I thought. But overall, I had a good time. What about you, Pete?
I had a good time too. I had no idea that, I mean, when I go to the TOC, I'm radio silent for the most part. And I had no idea that there were these flooding and people died in Nashville and all that stuff. I think
somebody may have even died in Lexington, that I read somewhere, which is kind of crazy. It shows you how that, you're in a debate bubble sometimes when you...
Isn't the university wired? I mean, or wireless, whatever.
Yeah, but nobody's paying attention to anything except for...
I was doing the whole researching.
Yeah, debate stuff the whole time.
Now were either of you judging?
I actually judged way more than I expected to be judging. I mean, the reality is that once I started tabbing and, my team got larger and larger, I began judging less and less. There was a period where I was judging like hundreds of rounds a year. I think I judged more rounds at the TOC than I judged at the entire season combined, felt like.
They were using mutual judge preference, right?
They were.
And a pretty extensive conflict list. I conflicted myself against anyone that Victor Breese had hired. So
conflicts are the one thing that, we talk about them a little bit, and a lot of people have written about them, but most tournaments we don't pay enough attention to. I mean, I will privately say, I know that this
Sure.
is a conflict and do it. But nobody really comes to me and says, well, they do. A few people do. But it's not as much as it should be.
At my tournament next year, I'm going to try to give a formal conflict sheet at registration.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing to do. You don't want to have to strike somebody you worked with. I mean, that's silly. I mean, that's not a strike. A strike is somebody you don't want judging you, not somebody who can't judge you.
Yeah.
Or from the judge's point of view, someone that, you know, when you asked the question, how did the TOC go? It went much better than I had expected. But the days leading up to the TOC, for at least the committee, were extremely contentious when it came to how we were going to be doing conflicts and what needed to be conflicted and so on. So
it's confusing. But, yeah, I agree.
But at least, I mean, my feeling is that I'm glad that it got taken care of beforehand, because once the tournament started, it seemed pretty event-free.
What's there like? I mean, did you actually come up with a document or something and say,
oh,
this
yeah.
is what a conflict
yes.
should be? Well, what are those things?
I can read it to
well,
you.
While Beats is looking up, one of the things that did cause some confusion is what happens, and I actually thought this was an interesting scenario because one of my own former debaters from before I was at Bronx Sciences in the pool, what happens when you have a debater that you coached in high school but at a different high school judging your own kids now? Is that a conflict? Right, like, and that I actually think is a sort of gray area. That's
it's gray. I'd be an not averse to having them judge that. It seems to me a pretty far. I mean, it's a couple of Kevin Bacon's away, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think
I don't
that,
know about that though. I actually thought this was the most. This was a difficult call.
But I think it's moot. I mean, yeah, it's arguable,
especially in a tournament like the TOC, where you know, like. People, you know, for better or for worse, people feel that everything is on the line in a tournament.
At the
like
TOC,
that.
It may make more sense than if I were going to have conflicts at Big Bronx, you know.
Given the few number of incidences of that happening, and my big thing when we got in the argument regarding this stuff was that where we can create a bright line without it completely destroying the judging field.
Sure.
In terms of being able to place rounds, we should create those bright lines. And this seemed like a bright line because there are some former debaters who are very close or were very close to their coaches. And even, you know, they hang out with the teams and so on. Like for example, Nick Green was just hanging out with us at the tournament. I wouldn't say at Harvard, for example.
Right.
I mean, if in round six he got slated to judge Jake, I would have been like, no one should see that happen.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, I agree
he is
with that.
He
mean, there's
had,
a hanging had, out. I mean, if it's a hanging out rule, especially, I'm for that because people are like, I'm sitting there, we're eating, and you know, we go out to eat or we hang out all day or something, and then they go judge that kid. I mean, not because I think they're going to pick him up. Actually, I think they're going to drop him because they're going to feel so guilty about judging them. I think that these strikes and the conflicts rather sometimes work the way opposite than people
sure,
think they're going
to
work.
True.
I think that you know, to me, it all came down to when a coach says, "I think that this person can judge him just fine." I think we need to approach it from the perspective of that third person in the room, that debater that doesn't know who this person
sure.
is yet. The coach or the judge and that person is buddy buddy or whatever. So here's what it's fairly long. I'll just read it. It says, Tournament of Champions Judge Conflict Document. Fair competition requires not merely the absence of impropriety, but also avoiding the appearance of impropriety. A conflict of interest is a relationship that might reasonably be thought to bias a judge toward or against a competitor. Such relationships may themselves not be may be quite innocent, but they could reasonably be thought to compromise the judge's impartiality. The Lincoln Douglas TOC Advisory Committee has drafted these guidelines to be implemented at this year's Tournament of Champions. As an aside, our document that we created last year, very similar to this, is now used by the NFL.
Which I think is good. I think it's great.
Having a standard document sounds like a great idea.
A judge can't judge a school they attended. And the committee said there was no sunset on that. It was just always. But I think that's going to be reconsidered, but I'm fine with that. A judge can't judge a program, whether one school or a collection of schools for which they coached, consulted, or judged until 4 years after they have stopped. This applies even if the judge only worked with some or one of the program students. It applies whether or not the judge was paid for the work.
Okay.
So this would be like, I can't judge Edina until 4 years after I'm done. John Cruz couldn't judge Berkeley Carroll until he was 4 years out, even though he only worked with one kid from there.
Right.
A judge can't judge a program if the judge has done exclusive pre-round prep for one or more of the students from that program, whether electronically, verbally, or through transfer of resources. Judges can share information without creating a conflict, but if the judge engages in coaching behavior, such as discussing strategies, arguments, evidence, etc., with a program for the purpose of helping them win a debate, then they shouldn't judge that program. If a judge does this in the middle of the tournament, they should inform the tab room and recuse themselves. So that's where a lot of the bright line between
Is
what
that the
is
whole
dis
thing?
no, 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 no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's on. There's like stuff about people who you travel with. Like I would not be able to judge Sophie Ruff or Zach Struver. And I think that's actually
That's
pretty
fine.
appropriate.
I
I
mean,
mean, they
I'm
travel
fine
with
with that.
us.
I mean,
Yeah,
I've
they
had
travel
that
so much that I think that it would be inappropriate anyway.
when I travel with, you know, I bring a judge with me on our bus or something. I tend to just strike him. You know, I mean, well, I mean, I just said, you know, say no, he can't judge because they were sitting on the bus for 3 hours talking about debate, and on their way to wherever we're going, they shouldn't be judging those kids. You know, they're giving advice, blah blah blah, or they're hearing their cases or their strategies or whatever. So I'm fine with that. I think it's a good idea. Can I say this? Could you send me this? Could we post this? I mean,
It's
can
on the
I?
Joy of Tournaments website, joyoftournament.com/KY/
KY.
TOC. If you judge on LD judge conflicts, you'll see it. I'll just go through the rest here really quick. A judge can't judge a program if they attend practice rounds with students from that program prior to tournaments. Judges can't judge students whom they are members of their family, who they have dated or so had close physical or emotional relationship, who they regularly chat with in or out in person, over the phone, or over the computer. And judges can't judge debaters with whom they socialize outside of the realm of debate. A judge can't judge a student if the judge thinks they would be unable to fairly judge them for reasons not stated in the parts of this document, but for the judge to feel some personal bias. A judge may choose to recuse him or herself if judging students if they regularly share transportation, lodging, blah blah blah, or if they work together very closely at camp.
I'm looking at
This
Joy of Tournaments. Where is this on Joy of Tournaments?
you have to do /KY/TOC.
It's no longer on the front page because the tournament's over. Got it, Jim?
I have I assume there's a whole page of stuff
LD
on this.
conflicts.
I'll
Look at the
find up
top.
on
I'll
the
find
top.
it. Oh yeah,
Up on the
okay.
top.
Got it. Okay. I'll find it. I'll post. I'll get this. I'll pull this out later. Okay.
And then I created, and then what I did basically is we created a form that I used my FormSpring account for. The judge put their name in, email address, a cell phone number, then a list of all the competitors, and they just put a click next to a checkbox next to who they were recusing themselves from. And then at the bottom, they had to explain the nature of their conflicts. The reason we had people explain the nature of their conflicts is because last year someone decided that they were going to recuse themselves from 30 debaters,
30.
for no good reason, just to be an ass about it. So the committee decided they weren't going to do that. That was, I mean, this became pretty contentious in the drafting of this document.
But it's good
Some
to, I
people.
mean, still, it's good to have a document and that people are mostly agreeing with, right? I mean, I assume there was most
I think
agreement on
so.
it. Yeah.
And I think that as long as it's out front, then no one had a question about it. For example,
Sure.
in our quarterfinals round, where we debated Meadows, Chris Catterton was slated to judge us, and you know, I just went up and said, "Look, Mike Spiridos, who coaches for Meadows now, coached Chris Catterton when he was a debater, so he shouldn't be on the strike sheet. He just should not be allowed to judge the round." And you know, because we had discussed that prior, then we just. I mean, it became a non-issue. I mean, Dave Houston was a little annoyed, but you know, it was just no issue. But there was no conflict between us and the Meadows team because it just was what it was.
Yeah.
So,
Now, John, I mean, you'd be willing to use this
sure.
for Big Bronx. Okay, so
Oh,
that's
I mean, I plan to
okay.
use it in Big Bronx. I think it's basically perfectly worded. The only thing that I sort of disagree with is I think that there comes a point where you can judge your own high school, especially if you are a coach, because at that point you're coaching against your old high school. Like at the NYSFL tournament, I judged Great Neck South, which is where I went to high school, but I'm, you know, I graduated in like almost 10 years ago, so I don't have any connection to those debaters anymore. I mean, I'm thrilled when Great
Like I
Lakes
said,
South
but this
does
goes back
well,
to what Beats is saying. It's the other person in the room
I agree. No, I
that
completely
is
agree,
almost
but
gets to judge. It's sort of like Hillary Clinton gets to judge whether
well,
Bill is having
I
sex.
completely agree, but there are two things I would say about that. First off, I think once you're a certain point out, people don't remember where you went to high school anymore. So I doubt that the I could be wrong, but I think that the average
Depends on the
debater
person.
judging probably doesn't know that that's where I went to high school. I didn't even mention it when I judged the round. And actually, I dropped one of the Great. I judged two Great Lakes South debaters at the NYSFL. I dropped one and picked up the other. So I think once you become a
That's like saying I'm not racist because I have black friends.
I mean, I disagree with that, but okay. So, I think once you become a coach and you're coaching against your old school and you're many years out of your old school, it probably doesn't matter. On the other hand, I don't really care. Like,
Yeah, it's not that big an
it's not gonna
issue.
make or
I
break a
mean, what I'd
judgment.
like to do is have maybe, a couple of levels of this. I mean, obviously at your tournament where it's a big tournament and you have a lot of judges and possibly a lot of
Sure.
conflicts, as compared to a smaller tournament where we could have like a modified thing. But the whole idea of conflicts, I think, remains important at almost any tournament that we go to. And I think it needs to be addressed more than it is. And it's nice if we have something that has some kind of imprimatur on it, as this particular document does, especially if NFL is using something pretty much the same. That's a
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah.
I think the NFL district tournament manual even attributes the
God, I haven't
source
looked at that in
as.
years. Ew. Yeah, I haven't had to, thank God. Yes, thank
Well, we
God.
did because we ran theory violations against people that used their computers in rounds, and we also ran theory violations against people that didn't read full source cites.
La-dee-da. Excuse me. Anyhow, okay, back to the TOC. We'll get to NFL in a second. Good tournament, a wet tournament. I mean, I was watching the Derby, so I saw that it was a wet tournament, although it was nice and dry here. Oh, this absolutely, John, this has nothing to do with anything, but I went to the Cherry Blossom Festival at the Bronx, no, Brooklyn, sorry, Brooklyn
It
Botanic
is
Garden,
quite
and
magnificent.
magnificent, nothing. The cosplay was unbelievable. I mean, everybody there was in a costume. And my favorite ones were the Disney princesses. But
And you thought of me, but
moving right along. Okay, so the question, of course, is you're both on the committee, so what's going on in the committee?
I guess the big contention came down to, well, there was a big discussion about Harvard, a big discussion about Emory, and a big discussion about St. Mark's, all for very different reasons about whether or not they were deserving of their octafinal bids. And the committee concluded that all were. And the discussion for each of those, Harvard, because of the exorbitant prices. I think someone mentioned that it was $140 a debater, the lack of hospitality, and just the lack of judging, the good judges there. At Emory, it was because of the second-class treatment that Lincoln Douglas debate gets. They'll make a mistake and say they don't really care if a mistake was made, or they won't do their best to try to fix it, even if it is determines who breaks and where they're seated. And then St. Mark's had to do with the quality of the competition and judging pool, whether it
I
was.
think that fair to be blunt, and this is with all due respect to Tim Mahoney, who is an excellent coach and somebody who cares a lot about debate. I think there's also a perception that LD is a big time second class citizen in St. Mark's.
Yes, absolutely.
Big
Absolutely.
time.
Second.
I mean, yeah, so I think that I just wanted to bring that up because I think that's sort of a theme at all three tournaments, because all
It
three
sounds like,
tournaments
I
are run by
mean, yeah.
policy teams,
Yeah, I mean,
by
certainly
teams that
Harvard,
are policy only teams, right? Because Harvard and Emory obviously are NDT level college policy teams, and St. Mark's is a policy only squad.
Right.
So I do think that
Which
that's
doesn't
a
preclude them from being able to
sure,
do it. I mean,
of course, of course. I mean,
I
Glenbrook
think.
South is a policy only squad. I mean, Glenbrook North, yes, has LD, but Glenbrook South is a policy only squad, and they do a great job with their tournament for LD and for all their events.
Yes. The I mean, yes, and I think that on each of them, I think that the decision for Harvard was it was close. It was a close vote, but in fact there were calls for a recall vote, which JW arbitrarily decided was 2/3 for a recall, which I didn't realize we were following Robert's rules all of a sudden at the
Good
meeting.
grief.
The committee, I think the ultimate decision was you still have the best debaters there, and that they were trying.
I get, from the impression I got that this year was definitely that they were trying.
I mean, Harvard,
Absolutely.
as somebody who was basically took on the task or was kind of assigned the task to reach out to the Harvard staff, I think it is definitely fair to say that they tried to implement changes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, for sure.
I mean, they certainly have the kids. They have the judges, and if they know that they have them and they actually work them correctly, I think they could be a lot better. I think they were just sort of blindly dealing with judges, not knowing what exactly they had for years, which is obviously not a good thing.
There happened to be a representative from Harvard
Who I
that
didn't actually notice was in the room at
who was
first.
sitting in the room. I think he was just there to get some drinks, but who piped up and nearly cost Harvard an octave bid until I took him outside and told him that he needed to be quiet or Harvard will not have an octave bid
I
anymore
tell you,
because
one
it's.
thing that Harvard would benefit from is mutual judge preference. That would eliminate an awful lot of
Well,
issues
they
with the
do
judge
the
pool.
community, and I think
That was a
that,
step in the right direction, but as we've talked
yes.
about, community is probably not right for a tournament like that.
Well, and
It's
I actually had dinner with Stefan Burchard, and he actually, I think, admitted that community was not the way to go for
No,
Harvard,
it's not.
even though I think he said that he created community
Yeah,
preferences.
no, it's
He
a
did
good
create
idea.
community
It's an
preferences.
absolutely good idea some places, and it's a better idea than nothing. But
Yeah.
mutual judge preference, then the field, which, as we've said, is good. I mean, of course, 300 or 400 of them aren't so good, but the top 300 or 400 are pretty good, and
I
they
said,
actually, can determine good judges.
I mean, what I said to Stefan or
Stefan.
Stefan
Stefan
is
Bauschert.
give Liz Rogers $700 in cash and pay people that were high on the preference sheet to just stay and judge rounds and just pay them on the spot to just stay and judge rounds. And it would be an infinitely better tournament because after the triple octafinal rounds, our panels were no bueno.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
that
it
was
has to,
harder.
you have to get good panels up to the end. I mean, if it's a tournament of that impact, it's got to be, start to finish, you have to have the best possible judges.
Especially if they want to have the pomp and circumstance of being a very prestigious tournament
Yeah, I
up
mean, the
until
prestige is derived from having good judging, good debaters, good
then.
everything. It all goes together. You can't take some of those elements out and say, well, it's prestigious because, hey, it's Harvard. No,
Especially when you're charging so much for entries.
yeah,
Sure.
Outrageous.
On Emory, I think that the decision was well, John Sharp happened to be in the room, and I guess he is an Emory alum. John Sharp being the person who is worked with Ryan.
Co-director
Yeah.
of debate at Kentucky.
Or co-director of the tournament or something like that. And he was in there and he said, I mean, the big thing that everything got that seemed to be stressed is the directors just don't know. Which I think that some of us on the committee thought was a little bit dubious, but that they just don't know that there are these problems. But,
That
it is
is
what it is.
not true. I don't buy it for one second. They may not care, but they know there's a difference.
Ultimately, the committee decided that we were going to put this in a
Are you telling
document.
me, I go back to Harvard, are you telling me that these Harvard people, which are running the World's Worst Tournament, that everybody was saying was the World's Worst Tournament all the time,
I
the fact
gen
that they
listen,
didn't know is not a factor. I'll admit maybe they didn't know,
I
but
really
that
don't
is
think they
such an
know.
indictment against them for not knowing.
I don't disagree. However, this is what I kind of think. I think when a tournament has had a certain bid status for a really long time, you, and I'm saying this as both a committee member, but even from outside my perspective as a committee member, I think it's sort of in a world where they're absent stated guidelines for each kind of bid, which we'll talk about in a moment because there are soon going to be stated guidelines about that, which I think is great. I think in a world absent of that, giving the courtesy of telling people there is a problem with your tournament is probably a good thing, especially if you've had that bid for so long, right? Does that make
I
sense?
mean, from the point of view of the TOC committee saying you guys have to shape up, yeah.
Well,
other
I mean,
things you
and
can
that's
do
what
in a
we did with
camera and
Harvard last
whatnot.
year. I mean, a lot of the changes that happened at
The
Harvard.
last year wasn't when Harvard went to hell in a handbasket. Harvard has been a
Yeah,
problem
I
for
agree. I
15
but
years.
but I but that's the my point being that they were willing to change things even though they've been doing the same thing over and over for a million years.
But the
And they were
animus
willing to
that
change things.
the animus that people like me have against Harvard is because they didn't care. Now they
Out of
care because
curiosity.
it jeopardizes their bid. They only care because it jeopardizes their bid. They don't care because they care about 400 kids paying
Look, I gotta tell you something.
$140.
With all due respect, Jim, I don't. I've become a look. For the sake of full disclosure, I recused myself from parts of the Harvard discussion because it affected my own tournament. That having been said, I have to say, I mean, I agree completely about all the problems with the Harvard tournament. The reality is, if there were no bid, I would still send all my top debaters. It's Harvard. My school likes to hear about Harvard. Parents like to hear about Harvard. You know, I mean, we all know that's true, right? People would come to the Harvard tournament regardless of a bid. I truly believe that. I believe people would fly to the Harvard tournament without a bid. It's Harvard. All of that having been said, I actually have gained a more respect for the people who run the tournament after dealing with them about these issues over the
I'm
past
not
year.
saying they're bad
No,
people.
but let me finish what I'm saying. I know you're not saying that. But I do actually believe that these people want to run a good tournament. I don't think it was just, I mean, I think the
But the
fearing a bid
question.
reduction was a wake-up call thing, but I think they do genuinely want to run a tournament that people
The
care about.
question is, are they willing to make less money to run a good
Well,
tournament?
that I agree with, and that's a totally, I mean, that is,
That's
well,
a
it's not a
very good
separate issue,
question.
but it's separate from what we're currently talking about. I
Believe
don't
now, wait a
disagree with
second.
that. I don't think you can separate the two. Because you can't
No.
say, I want to run the best tournament as long as I make
Wait, Beats.
$80,000.
I was not clear at all. I agree with you. You can't separate the two. I meant more that we hadn't previously talked about that in the podcast. I agree 100% with you. I think that it is outrageous how high Harvard's fees are. I think it's totally outrageous.
Well,
Outrageous.
I just want to point out, I mean, I have worked now, I work with four Ivies, whatever. And the one thing we're working with these people is that they have to care about their tournament. They have to care about the people that come, that they can't have an attitude. They, no, you know, people are, as we've said, people are going to come or not come to these tournaments for whatever reason. But, yeah, we have really tried to bring normalization to them and to bring them along into the world
Sure.
that exists. And I think this is really important for these colleges, especially. And like I say, the Ivies, especially. I remember going to Princeton back in the day. It was one of the most horrible tournaments. I mean,
Sure.
okay,
I didn't
Harvard
go to
looked good because
Princeton.
the
I didn't.
attitude at Princeton
It
was
was awful.
sickening.
It was noxious. And
Yeah,
I didn't go. It was
exactly.
actually poisonous is really the best word for it. I didn't go to Princeton for years. I mean,
Neither did I.
and I refused to go, and we came and we worked hard this year. I mean, we won the tournament. It was great. And
Well,
I got
the
to say
thing is,
something
I
right now.
refused to go until I was able to run it because that's the
Sure.
only way I could trust that
I
it was going to
refused
be
to
a
go
decent
until you were
tournament.
running
Yeah,
it.
so yeah, but part of it is getting. But when you talk to the kids or whatever, and it is kids. I mean that tournament at least is kids. They want to do it. They do want to do it.
Well, the other good
So
thing is
that's
that a
a
lot
good
of these
thing.
people who, well, sort of twofold thing. I mean, I think the people running the Princeton tournament started to realize that people, I mean, yes, it's Princeton, so people want to go to Princeton, but the Princeton tournament, I think, was threatened. I think that people knew that tournament was giving absolutely nothing for its money. I mean, I actually think Princeton at its worst was worse than Harvard at its worst.
Oh
I mean, I
yeah.
think Princeton at its worst was the most miserable experience. I mean, it was like you knew that you were just being robbed left and right,
Absolutely.
and you knew that you're going to be treated like crap. At least at Harvard, you're not actively treated horribly the way that you used to be at Princeton. So I think that's a great example of a college turnaround.
I don't know if it's a turn. I mean, I think
Princeton?
that I no 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 turn
No,
yeah
I'm talking about
Princeton. I think
Princeton. I'm
it's
not talking
oh
about Harvard. I'm talking about Princeton.
But I mean, the turnaround is controlled. I mean, it came from the outside. It didn't come from inside. So the thing is, these people that are inside, until somebody hits them over the head, we hit them over the head, essentially. And I mean, I don't know how exactly it happened, and
But that's
Pablo
just
can
because the
answer that
Princeton tournament
better.
is nowhere near the scale of the Harvard tournament in terms of the number of entries, the money raised, etc.
No, it isn't.
Absolutely. So they
So,
had more of an incentive to change. I realize that.
yeah, but well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's where the question comes, that's where the question arises as to whether or not they're willing to pry open their coffers and help the LD division along anymore. I mean, yeah, I guess that's the question. And I voted for them to keep their bids because I think that it serves another function, that being for a lot of kids, Harvard is the only tournament they get to travel to. And because their team can, do a bake sale to take the team to the Harvard tournament. And
Yeah, the name does pull. The name works. It gets
oh,
people to
yes.
be able
And
to go.
for those kids who aren't allowed to travel to any other tournaments, but because it's the Harvard tournament, their school lets them travel to it, and they can bring 40 kids. I'm thinking of some of
Sure.
the schools that don't get to travel at all and have no bids in their area or something like that. For that kid to get to the top 16,
Yeah.
That
And
kid
it happens,
makes a good thing.
and it does happen. I mean, that happens with
But
some
remember, I
frequency.
mean, there's a cause and effect here thing. If this happened to be Yale instead of Harvard, and I'm not saying, I mean, absent the reality of Yale, I'm just saying it could easily have been Yale versus
Yeah,
Harvard. Everybody
except
say, look,
Harvard.
I will all go to Yale, and then we all go to Yale. I mean, it just happens to be, I mean, there's a handful of tournaments that could have been this tournament. It happens to be Harvard.
It might be more expensive to go to Yale.
I also kind of think that at the end of the day, and look, I'm proud alum of Vassar, but I still think at the end of the day, Harvard just carries something that even Yale does not carry in terms of how schools think of tournaments.
And on the West Coast, Berkeley is the same way. I mean, Berkeley is the big tournament that all the mountain states go to. They get on buses from Idaho, Utah, Montana, Washington to all go to the Berkeley tournament. And you see names on that schematic that you don't see at any other tournament. And for those kids, it's their one chance. Honestly, I think that's the fault of whoever, the committee or whatever, for not seeking out more bids in that area so we don't have to create these giant hubs of awful tournaments that we have to give bids to because it serves an
Well,
outreach
I'd
function.
much
I would
rather
definitely
see a lot of tournaments with fewer bids than a few
agree.
tournaments with a lot of bids. But
I.
you have to have the tournaments. I remember being on the committee, and it's absolutely, that's sooner or later you say, well, we need more bids in the Midwest or the West or whatever. Well, yeah, you also need more tournaments. You need tournaments that you can give bids to. You can't just say, well, all the bids ought to go somewhere and not have schools that are running tournaments that are bid worthy. You got to have bid worthiness in there already. And that's a problem. And that doesn't get solved by anybody. I mean, there's no way to, you can't do anything about that.
Absolutely.
So anyhow, beyond the colleges, I mean, these three tournaments, what else was going on? I mean, you said there was a guidelines coming for them for the future.
We didn't talk about that in person very much, just because we got so bogged down in the bid discussion, especially. I mean, every time we tried to move off one tournament, we got pushed back to discussing Harvard. Who is typing?
I am. I admit I'm typing. I admit I'm typing. Sorry,
Go get
go
your
on.
iPad. There's no typing with the iPad.
Now, that's true.
It'd be much quieter.
We kept going back to discussing Harvard because honestly, the people that were in favor of moving Harvard down were extremely passionate about it. Extremely passionate about it. And whenever a discussion was made that to meet Dr. Patterson's imperative that we do not add more bids to the pool of bids, that tournament got brought up as one where we could eliminate eight immediately. But it didn't happen. But
And
I.
actually, there was a. I mean, I don't know how much detail we're supposed to go into this, but we actually did recommend a net increase of bids ultimately, which was not the original. I mean, that wasn't like part of a master design. It sort of just happened. And I think that, well, that's maybe a discussion for another thing. I'm sorry, go on
Well,
with what
no,
you're saying.
I think it sent the right message. I mean, without naming the tournaments that got rewarded in big ways were tournaments that did everything right about what we want in a high school tournament. They're on time. They provide amazing judging. They provide meals. They have a livable schedule. They,
They
you
treat
know, they're,
LD equally to
they,
policy, which I think.
yes, if not better, they are run at high schools, and they give a ton of money to financial aid or charity to help bring kids to their tournament, or to reach out to the community. And I think that on one hand, we did increase the bids, but we did it to send a pretty good message about what we expect in a tournament, so that
Completely.
next year, when we want to cut bids, we can do so. by not only having this document, but also having examples of what should get rewarded.
I think that beats hit the nail on the head. That's a perfect description of it.
The mandate sort of from Dr. Patterson to decrease bids came from the fact that this year there were 80 kids at the TOC. I think 76 were fully qualified. A couple didn't come, and they ended up letting what, six or eight kids in?
I think six, right?
Six kids into the TOC from the at-large list, because they do have to let people into the at-large list. So their big worry was that if we increase bids, that it would not that the at-larges would become obsolete. I think that John and others made very persuasive arguments as to why this year was unique.
Yeah. I mean, and that's with all due respect to Walt Whitman. I think, by the way, I mean, we talked about this on here maybe, but I mean, Walt Whitman is really to be congratulated for an unbelievable season. And I think that,
Yes.
that I mean, qualifying, because JW made a really interesting point. I didn't even think about this. Not only did Walt Whitman qualify 10 people in LD, but they qualified something like 26 people across events. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's just incredible. And, the reality is, and I wish Walt Whitman the best of luck next year. I have to qualify another 10, but the reality is that there was an increased number, I think, of people this year who were getting like two bid qualifications and three qualifications, and I just think that's a total aberration from what would normally happen. Nothing has changed in debate other than having a great year in Bethesda, Maryland, to cause this issue with the at-large bids.
Agreed. And I mean, admittedly, we also had the issue of the Golden Desert, which
Right.
we solved immediately too, where we gave them four more bids, and that was
They were
not
given four more bids during the year, is what.
right. So I don't think that we need to worry as much about that again, in terms of having that many kids qualified to the TOC. But that was another source of discussion and consternation for Dr. Patterson.
Well, I mean, he always wanted to get that 72 as the
Well,
number.
he initially, I mean, his dream is always to have 64, so it mirrors the March Madness, but
Well, realistically, getting a 70 or so allows you pretty much to break everybody. You don't have to have the runoffs, and you have to have runoffs when you have more. I mean, but
yeah,
it's not the world's worst thing to have some runoff rounds.
it's not, and I mean, the question that he that Dr. Patterson asked isn't, are we letting as many kids as we can, but does every single kid that's in the tournament have the ability to win the tournament or at least break at the tournament? I don't think that's true, but does every kid who would have a chance of breaking at the tournament have the ability to get to the
I mean, there
TOC?
is a certain. I mean, does every kid there deserve to be there, whatever that means? And we know what that means. And I agree with
Right.
that.
But yes, does and I think that every kid probably has pretty good chance. I mean, you do need resources to do it. That being said, I've always found that most tournaments are willing to work with kids to make it to give them the chance to compete, even if they have to drive 7 hours and or 8 hours and have to get housing and have to get the tournament fees waived and have to get their judging obligation waived. Kids are able to make it work. And I do think that every kid that could have won the tournament in the country was at the tournament.
That's good. And that's what it's supposed to be. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. But yeah, I mean, let's get off the TOC for a second. I mean, you mentioned the NFL topic. What do you think of the NFL topic?
I don't like
Don't
it.
like it.
I don't know, what does it say? Let me try
I
to
forget
refresh
the
my.
exact wording.
I've given little thought to this topic because we are
It's DNA.
structurally unable to go. It's the felons DNA database. I think it's actually a
No, it's
pretty
not
interesting. It's
felons. Non-felons.
Yeah,
No, I'm sorry,
it's
non-felons.
you. You are
Sorry,
going to
sorry,
be in
non-felons.
the
Not
DNA.
non-felons. I'm sorry.
I think it's got a lot of argumentation on both sides, which and also it's like an actual real topic. I mean, I could see this coming up, or maybe it has come up. I don't know. I see, it's not. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, let's do this, and well, no, don't do this. Oh yes, do this. I mean, yeah. I think of it as. I mean, to me, arguable is the most important thing, and this does strike me as very arguable. And certainly at the NFL kind of tournament, which I think of as a, I mean, the judging is all over the map. So, you can, so it's a little more old-fashioned, shall we say, in the way one's going to approach the tournament. And this is the kind of topic that, I mean, it's an old-fashioned kind of topic. So I sort of, I like it for NFL. Let's put it that way. I like it for NFL finals. I think it's a good one for that.
Here's what Victor wrote about it when the topics came out, and Victor always gives a Victor G of Victory Briefs and Brentwood Debate. He always gives his rundown, him being a person that likes to analyze words. He says, "I get the intent." Here's the exact wording: "Resolved, compulsory inclusion of non-felons' DNA in any government database is unjust." So here is what Victor says. And if you go to victorybriefsdaily.com and do a search for resolutions, it's about the fourth result down. "I get the intent of the writers to talk about the literature that criticizes the collection of DNA from misdemeanor offenders, etc., or to constrain the government's creation of terrorist suspect databases. But the wording and the focus on any government database makes this a bad topic to debate. First, there are so many databases that have nothing to do with criminals or citizens. We have compulsory DNA gathering for CIA operatives or foreign heads of state, for example. Does the negative just have to find one obscure database? Second, grammatically, the topic is messed up. The word compulsory modifies inclusion, but in real life, what the literature is really focused on is not inclusion in a database, but the forced collection of DNA. In other words, can the negative negate by saying, I agree we shouldn't collect DNA from people, but if we have the DNA evidence, we should make sure we log it. So we have compulsory inclusion of DNA we have without compulsory gathering. I doubt that's what the writers had in mind, yet that's technically what the topic says."
I think he's cutting it too thin. I don't know.
Well, I wonder how much of this analysis will come up at
Yeah,
the NFL
exactly.
tournament.
I think his. I don't necessarily quibble with his analysis, but I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I mean,
Really? You don't think? I mean, when you read that resolution, it doesn't say that we're going to gather it. It just says that we're going to keep a database when we get it.
What is the, give me the topic again. Read the topic.
Compulsory inclusion of non-felons' DNA in any government database is unjust.
I agree that the wording is a little broad, to
Yeah,
say the
but I mean,
least.
it's saying that or that compulsory is
Here,
okay. So compulsory is just
I'm
so.
texting it to you, Jim. It's been
Thank you,
it's
bro.
been it's been I it's been
Right.
Skyped to you.
Compulsory inclusion of non-felons' DNA in any government database is unjust. In any government, yeah, you're right. Okay, I don't. The wording. I have to admit, I haven't looked at the wording that closely. So when I actually stare at it, I'm thinking, eh. But on the other hand, people aren't, don't think are going to dissect. I mean, again, this is nat-nats. I mean, are people going to dissect the wording and run some of the things that Victor is talking about? I don't know. I don't know the difference.
At NatNats, it's a there's a fine line between being able to nitpick and being able to just be smarter on a topic, I guess. So how the judges cut is always is where you get, need to find the balance, because if the judges decide that that's just a clever way to look at the resolution, they will like it. But if they think that you're just nitpicking and you know what they meant, then they'll be annoyed with you. But I think how you present it has a lot to do with it as well. And so, that'll have a lot to do with this turning into a nitpicking debate and actually being able to craft a position.
See, as a nitpicking debate, it sucks. I mean, I don't want to pick the nits. I want to have, should we have access to this information on people or not have access to people for, I mean, what reason would we have for having this information becomes the question. And I think that's an interesting question. And I mean, it seems like the misuses of that information. Do you read what Jim Anderson's blog is? He's been talking about this. I mean, the misuse is the problem or is a problem. But the misuse of something isn't like the world, isn't a reason necessarily to negate. You have to really prove that that's a reason to negate.
Yeah, but there are questions of government security, and the government also privatizes a lot of stuff, and to have our DNA privatized would be,
But why is our DNA so, so
I
damned
don't,
important?
I don't know, I don't know, I haven't done.
I mean, I think today our DNA is, is still magical. I mean, it's still the kind of thing that OJ can get off on. I mean, he can't
Right.
get off on it. I mean, he gets off because of it.
Got it.
Yeah, thank you. Is he still alive? He is alive, right? Anyhow,
Yeah, he's in jail in Las Vegas.
he's still
He's in
alive.
jail in Las Vegas. Is that like a prison, or is that like, the MGM Grand or whatever? Anyhow, so people don't necessarily. I mean, DNA and the understanding of DNA and genomes and stuff like that is very magical to people today. I mean, 20 years from now, this may be such commonplace stuff that nobody's going to care. I mean, it's like giving away your information on Facebook. I mean, I may care about this, but kids don't care about it because they're
I
living in
mean,
a
that's
different
actually kind of an
world.
interesting approach to take on it. But I'm sorry, go on. I think
No,
BT,
I
were you
mean,
about to
yeah, I mean, it's just that, I think. I mean, I guess it's a core question. I'm going to ask anybody debating this: what the hell is so important about it that really matters? I mean, all of my medical information is, my doctor has all this kind of stuff. Now, is it in some government database? No. Do I care if my blood type were in a? Well, I guess it is. I give blood. I mean, there's a lot of information, medical information out there about me. I mean, the Catholic Church is a good example of like, they don't allow this, they do allow that, but they allow a hell of a lot of stuff that 400 years ago, 200 years ago, 100 years
Sure.
ago, they wouldn't allow, that other religions won't allow, things like that. Because, oh, we can't do that because it's against God's law. And after a while, oh, no, God gave you the ability to figure out how to do it, so let's do it. So there is a development of this kind of stuff. So I think, maybe we look at this the wrong way. I mean, why would I care? I mean, unless, in fact, the government is going to start finding Italian, Irish Americans and, start punishing them, because that, I guess, is in my genes, or bald guys, because that's in my genes or something like that. But, other than that, I don't, and I'm not, to tell you the truth, I'm not worried about that. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's such a horrible thing. But then, what is the good use of this in a government database? What is the good use of having everybody's DNA in the database? That way, if somebody does commit a crime, I guess we can find out, oh, well, he committed the crime. Is that a terrible thing? I don't know. I mean,
Well, it can be used to acquit people, luckily. I mean,
it could be used to, it could also, but let's look at the fact, it could be used to convict somebody. So I can, I mean, I use your fingerprints. Hey, his fingerprints were there, and that's good evidence, and you're guilty. So now I can say, well, your DNA is there. Okay, and so you're guilty.
am I wrong that when we were kids, there was mandatory gathering of our fingerprints?
I don't.
No, I've never been fingerprinted, to my
I
knowledge.
think. I
Well, you're a
think that when
kid
I
when I
was,
was different. I mean, you're younger. So, I mean,
I
I think my daughter
think
was fingerprinted.
I
She's
think I
30.
was fingerprinted when I was in elementary school, with the excuse being that if I got kidnapped,
Right.
I could be found
That's
because
why
my.
we had kids fingerprinted because,
About kid, there, I think people are still encouraged to do that with their
I think,
kid.
as far as I know, they're still doing it. I mean, the thing is, you get taken somewhere. I mean, kids' appearance change very quickly. A 5-year-old kid doesn't look like a 10-year-old kid. So, well, that's my kid. Well, but the fingerprints don't change. So, I mean, it's one of the uses. But, I mean, it's just a question of what forensic evidence we find convincing or useful. Pudd'nhead Wilson, I mean, fingerprints are the whole subject of that book. And what are you talking about, fingerprints? That's ridiculous. And 100 years later, fingerprints, you don't think twice about it. So would I think twice about having, I mean, my fingerprints theoretically ought to be on a file, because I work at a school. I just happened to miss the cutoff date for that. And, what the heck? I don't care. I mean, a lot of people who haven't done anything, anybody in the army has their fingerprints. Anybody working in schools has their fingerprint. So what? What's the big deal? I mean, now we just say, well, DNA, oh, it's like more than fingerprint. Yeah, so what's the big deal? I mean, looking at it from that point of view,
That's interesting.
you have to wonder. On the other hand, looking at it from the point of view of, well, there is ample opportunity. Well, this would be good in Arizona. so we can find out who the Mexicans really are and get rid of them.
Okay.
So, ooh, Mexican DNA. Is there such a thing as Mexican DNA? I don't know if there's such a thing. Anyhow.
Beats sent me a text or an IM that I will repeat here and apologize to our viewing audience or view, yeah, our view, or listening
Listening
audience. I
audience.
apologize for my clicking and typing is the equivalent of listening to somebody chew.
You are typing up a storm.
I
Are you
apologize. Somebody is sending me
blogging?
a ridiculous thing. I'm not blogging at the same time.
I don't.
Here's what I say to people that park in my parking spot. You're not actually sorry because it's something you can control.
Well,
All right, so I think we've reached a natural end to
what?
our.
That can't be the.
I don't know. We've been on for more than 45 minutes. The natural end comes at around that 45 minute,
Well, if
50
we are
minute.
ending, I just want to say very quickly that on VBD right now is a tournament calendar call. In
How
other
come
words,
on VBD? I never found out who won the TOC.
it's on
What?
V. There's been
You're
I
insane.
found out who run the T won the TOC from Beats in his tweet, not from
Well, that was
Twitter.
instantaneous.
Was instantaneous. That's because I was judging the final round.
Well,
So
that would
just.
actually make me think I ought to get it right away.
Now, I think it's cool that we were using tweet services
I'm
for that.
happy with the tweets, and I'm happy to follow the tweets, but that, I mean, it was I thought there was a little bit less than a wide net, shall we say, following what was going on. I mean, there was a whole round or two that didn't seem to get posted on
Well, I had a bit of
DVD.
internet trouble during the Breakfast of Champions and didn't realize that for 2 hours
Believe me,
nothing
I did
posted.
not need you to tell me what was in the grits, so that didn't bother me. But I mean,
No, but
knowing who's in
that
the
caused.
rounds and who won and who's in the next round, I'm interested. I like to follow that, and it was not
No, but
being
that's
there.
true. Besides the octo, I mean, the octafinal round, there was a huge delay because I just didn't know that it didn't go up. And I sat there like an idiot and started updating something that wasn't there. But
Use
I
your
think
iPad.
I felt rather stupid about that when I discovered that it hadn't been posted. But
Well.
anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that there's a call as a board member of the NDCA. I'm organizing this, but I want to cross-post it on VBD to put together a tournament calendar for the whole country. So please post your tournament information. I noticed that a couple of tournaments have already been posted. My tournament, the New York City Invitational, the Malcolm A. Bump Invitational at Henhud, the Sun Invitational, and the Valley Mid-America Cup have been posted. So post your tournament as well, please.
Yeah, having a nice central place to look. I mean, we have a lot of calendars. I maintain a couple of calendars, but having good sources is important so we can all plan. A lot of schools have to plan well in advance to go to your tournament to let people know when it is.
Totally agree.
So, okay, can now can we like stop?
I guess. Are we gonna do
Okay.
it? So is this really it until like the
This is it.
fall?
Is the Mother of Mercy, is this the end of the
Can we do a
viewpoint?
clip show later?
I think we do need the very special episode,
We
Chachi
definitely need a very
Mary's
special
whatever.
show.
What
Thanks.
about doing a montage of audio clips?
There you go. It's at the clip show. I think it'd be beautiful.
Okay, let's put it this way. As soon as one of us has
We
nothing
can
better to
have a
do,
marathon of viewers' favorite episodes. We could
there
do
are no favorite episodes. The
do
one we didn't record is everyone's favorite
we could
episode.
do Chris Palmer back from the dead. It could be like when they killed Tasha Yar in Star Trek and then brought her back in an alternate universe. So it could be the alternate universe Chris Palmer.
I know Torsten has been begging to get back on.
That we could have Adam Torsen, a very special Adam Torsen guest appearance.
Could we just not do anything for a couple of months?
I think viewers should submit what they would prefer to see as a very
Okay, but
special.
that'll be Adam.
Maybe we can do a summer reunion once.
I'm fine. I mean, as long as we have
Boy,
something to
Medic,
say.
Medic, this is Medic is just.
I'm going from the Seinfeld approach. Quit while you're ahead. This is about as ahead as we're going to get.
This is ridiculous. What the hell does that even mean?
Okay, how about this? Let's end it with this. What are some places that people should read over the summer, if this is our last thing, some websites, etc.
Okay, the one book that I'm making my little people read is the Michael Sandel book on justice.
Oh, that book is awesome. Eric D. McKelley gave me a copy of that book, and I have to say, I recommend that to any LD or whatever your style of debate is. That book is so
The thing
good.
is, it summarizes all the basic material.
I mean this seriously. Every single debater, national circuit, local circuit, LD policy. I mean, our policy debaters were reading it and said they thought it was great. It's an awesome
By
book.
the way,
Mike
and you can
Sandel's best.
also, I mean, all his lectures are online. I mean, so I think they're on iTunes University or they're somewhere. I mean, they're easy to find. I mean, they're on YouTube and stuff. I mean, I've watched some of the lectures. He's a fantastically entertaining person to listen to watch. So, I mean, you can do it that way too. But the book is, I mean, I'm thinking that I may throw out some of my original sources and go to this
What's the
as the
book?
first book.
Justice by Michael Sandel.
Yeah.
Right?
It's still in hardcover. It just came out
Yeah.
this year. Essentially, it
It's
summarizes the
so
basic
good.
ethicists, you know, your Mills and Kants
I think
and so
the
forth.
official name is Justice a Reader.
No,
Right?
that doesn't sound
Oh
right.
no, that's I'm sorry, that's the other Sandel book.
Are you talking about Nadia?
What?
A reader?
Oh,
Oh,
that's so what? Oh God, that was
sorry.
so bad.
Okay.
Oh. It's called Justice, What's the Right Thing to Do?
All right.
Right, that's
Mere
right. That's
$16.50 on Amazon. Buy it through my website and I'll make money. Anyhow, it's obviously, yeah, there is Justice a
Yeah,
Reader. That's a
it's
different
just
thing.
no, right. It's the cover is I have it right on my desk over here. It's the cover is like a it says justice and there are pictures within the words justice. It's really, really
But
good.
it's called Justice, What's the Right
Yeah,
Thing to
Justice the
Do?
Reader is the other is the old Sandel
Yeah,
book.
that
This
may
is an
be good
excellent
too,
book.
but
The other one is good, but we're talking about the same book. It's
and this
this
is
they're both really good.
introductory ethics, you know.
And the other thing is it's good regardless of your skill level because it really is very comprehensive. It's a great
Yeah,
book.
I mean, I got stuff out of this that and I'm sure, and I was thinking as I'm getting stuff out of it, my newbies would get stuff out
Sure.
of it. That the range was really good, so I was definitely recommending that to
I think
people.
another thing that debaters should do over the summer, this is going to sound really corny, but I actually think that increasingly Lincoln Douglas debaters need to make sure they're staying on top of the news. It seems that increasingly on resolutions, people are debating these really hyper-specific scenarios about things that are occurring in the world today, right?
Overfishing.
Oh, the overfishing case is a great example of that. Side note, congratulations to Beats on Jake Sonnenberg's semifinal round appearance. I thought that was extremely impressive.
Thank you.
Beats got the Midas touch at every program he goes to. But I think that it's really important for LD debaters to stay on top of the news. I think that's just a good thing for students in general.
Okay. If anybody's going to stay on top of everything, I'm going to give myself a plug because I have 100 links to this thing. It's called the
Sure.
Quackian Feed.
That's
And the
true. And
Quackian
it's very
Feed
good, and it's quite
has,
good.
okay, articles today. There's a
Yeah.
fantastic article in the National Review on liberty and the Supreme Court and what the founders viewed liberty to be versus even what is in the Bill of Rights. And so it talks about what the Federalist Paper, I mean,
That sounds like something
Madison
that's
and
pretty.
what's the name?
That sounds
Hamilton.
actually quite relevant to the public forum national topic,
Yeah.
which is about political
Okay, then we have a
discourse.
thing here. I got figures on racism and capital punishment,
Sure.
an article on freedom from religion. Why, this is my favorite, why Kevin Keller matters. The best article on Kevin Keller. You know, Kevin Keller is the gay character in
Where?
Archie.
In Archie, which I think is the most groundbreaking thing of all,
And
but
there's a
anyway.
fantastic article about why this is the most fantastic thing. So it's these are the kinds of things, and I'm posting these like one or two a day. And like I said, I have a million. I'll put a link
Sure.
to it on the blog for the View from Tab. But I mean, I agree with you. I'm a
I think it's
absolute
super
believer that
important. I mean,
kids need to know what's going on in the
if
world.
you want to be, I mean, you need to know what's going on in the world, period. And if you're a debater who's like, well, I don't really care about anything other than winning, you also need to know about what's going on in the world to win. I mean, it's pretty
Yeah.
much the direction, for better or for worse, that is the direction that modern Lincoln Douglas debate is going in, regardless of your argumentative style. And I think so. I think it's really important to stay on top of things.
Oh, of course. I mean, we had, I think Ben said over 200, we cut over 200 cards in April to qualify from news from April before the TOC.
The other one thing I'd recommend people for the news, the absolutely easiest way to get the news is just listen to NPR for an hour a
Sure.
day. I mean,
Pierre's great.
absolutely painless. You sit there while you're, you know, eating your Cheerios or whatever, and you're going to get in-depth analysis. It's funny, I'll be sitting there listening to a news story and I'm reading the paper while it's going on and it's the same story. And frankly, I find it more interesting to listen to it because they're actually interviewing the person on NPR that, you know, I'm reading about in the newspaper there. So I mean, I love NPR as a source of news. I mean, not to put down anything else because I read the paper, blah, blah. But NPR is a great source of news and it's easy. It's the easiest source of news I know of.
And it has the best app for the iPad.
That's true.
What
I'm
does
going to
the
also.
app do?
It aggregates all the news from all the different
Hmm.
websites, and you can
I'm also
listen. You
going to
can
be
listen. You can listen to them. You can read them.
I'm going to be an extreme Manhattanite. I recommend that at least a couple of times people check out the Charlie Rose website. He has excellent interviews, and I think that I found I mean, first off, it's really the only television show I ever watch anymore, and I watch it on the internet. I don't even watch it on television. And I think that combined with reading the news regularly, getting to Charlie Rose really has a tendency to get just amazing newsmakers in the news and thinkers who are very relevant to debate. And I think that people should check that out a couple of times.
I just find him scary. He scares me.
Scary?
Yeah,
Charlie
Charlie
Rose?
Rose, he's like, there's something
Why?
about, he's weird.
He is?
He's weird.
He is weird, but
Well, I don't really agree
reading,
with that, but okay.
following the daily news can provide, even if you consider yourself a philosophy person and you're more concerned with ideas than events, following the news can add a lot of meat to your ideas, and it can add a lot of context to your ideas and your philosophy, and you don't need to give the two aren't mutually exclusive. In fact, they help each other a lot, and I think a lot of people see themselves as either being one or the other, especially in debate. You're either going to be a philosophy debater, or you're going to be a dissident debater, or an issue debater, or a policy debater, and those things should not be separated. And being able to give context to the news and vice versa is extremely important,
Sure.
and will win you a lot of debate rounds. I was going to put a plug in for the 3NR website. It's a
Yep,
policy
great.
debate website, but it has a lot of information on there about debate theory.
Yeah, I mean, I follow the blog,
And
so
the
I find
three,
it
I
very
should also
useful.
be noted that Roy Lefkowitz, Bill Bannerman, and Scottie Phillips are like really, really very gifted debate minds. I think that they're
Yes.
great. They're just awesome contributors to that site.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of play out of policy into the stuff that we're doing, too. So there's a
Sure.
lot of useful material there I have found by
Yes.
listening to them
And
and
I think
reading.
that Scott is going to be there's going to be an attempt on his part to start a debate journal
Yes,
with
I
that's going
saw
to be more
that, yeah.
academic. And he is going to include Lincoln Douglas in public forum in that journal. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out as well. Any other websites, ideas for making yourself smarter over the summer?
Well, I think that once the NFL topic list comes out after Nationals, it's not a bad idea to try to familiarize yourself with the basic debate on each of these topics. You know, a lot of debaters, when they see the resolution, they approach it the wrong way and immediately start thinking about the weirdest thing they could run instead of thinking about, like, what's the basic debate on this resolution, right? And I think that that's not a bad idea to familiarize yourself early.
All right.
All right, well, I think we've set everybody up for the summer. We'll give them something to do, and then we'll have the our greatest hits album will come out at some point. Whatever. All right, guys, I
It's
will
been real.
yeah, we will start up again in well, I don't know when we'll start up. We'll know when the time is right. And we will start up again when the time is right. So take care.
Have
Very
a
good.
great summer.
See you at Disney World.
See you. Oh, that's true. Manik and I will be part of a Disney debate adventure. You can follow our blog in August. I can't even believe I'm admitting this in public. But
Are you
anyway,
going to Disney World or Disneyland?
Disney
Disney.
World. Disney World.
No, come to land.
Sorry.
Ain't the same thing.
Cruise will be at VBI anyway,
This
and
is later on, I know. I'm sorry.
no, Disney. All
Disneyland is
right.
pretty magical, but there's no Epcot. So anyway,
All right.
this
Okay.
is embarrassing. We'll do a podcast from there. But
A
okay, anyway.
podcast from Disney.
All
Okay.
right.
We'll
Have a
see
great
you.
night.
Yeah.
Bye.
I love my iPad. Oh my God, Beats. It is amazing.
I
It
know
is
it's life-changing.
life-changing. It is life-changing. Okay, first of all, no. Jim, before you left, this is like serious. At work, it is unbelievable. I mean, I actually think that from the perspective of a teacher, it's like the most useful device ever. It's just great. Jim, the moment you get it, you're gonna be addicted to
I
it.
know, I know.
Did
I think it's
you
more
read what
addictive than
Cherian
ever.
said? Cherian wrote about his, and he said that he updated all the computers in their office
Yeah,
from his
through.
iPad.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, It's actually way more functional than I like, like a functional device than I thought it would be.
All right, you guys ready?
Yes, but I'm still thinking about how great my iPad
I'm
is.
sure you are. Mike, you ready?
Yeah,
Recording?
I am now recording.
Okay.